Let's pray together.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your goodness and all your blessings. We thank you for speaking to us and revealing yourself to us in your word. Help us to hear your word now and to apply it in our lives so that we might better live for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Would you like to have a seat, please? Some years ago, Shirley and I bought a little house in Tamworth in New South Wales. At least I should say that we started to buy a house. We first took out the loan in 1995. We've paid it off now with the assistance of many good tenants who were mostly very regular in their rent payments. It was a very big commitment for us at the time, taking on such a venture. Not quite sure whether we'd be able to see it through and pay off the house. Interestingly, when we were seriously starting to getting close to signing the bottom line, was just about the same time that I made another fairly serious commitment, having surgery for what's sometimes called the unkindest cut of all. We'd decided that two children was enough, and so I went in for the surgery, and then while recuperating from that surgery, we took the opportunity to check out some houses and banks and lending institutions and so on. One thing that struck us was that the banks and real estate agents and money lenders all seemed to have this one thing in common, that they wanted to talk you into making a commitment, and making a commitment straight away, then and there. Well, we did decide on a small house to buy in Tamworth, and even a few days later, when we were getting the deposit together and sending it off and so on, all the staff at the bank, all the various staff members, when they knew what we were there for, had their eyes lighting up, hoping that we might make that commitment with them so that they could get their commission. They wanted us to commit ourselves to taking out the loan with them. Many people would like to get you to commit yourself to them or to their cause. The Apostle Matthew wrote to try to convince people to commit themselves too. He didn't want people to commit themselves to him so much, but he did want people to commit themselves to his cause, which meant commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this commitment in itself entailed the attempt to then go on and try to get other people to commit themselves too. Throughout Matthew's gospel, again and again, he's at pains to point out that Jesus was the Messiah, God's chosen servant, the fulfillment of all God's promises to his people Israel throughout the years. In today's passage, today's gospel, Matthew quotes the prophecy of Isaiah, which we also heard in our first reading, our Old Testament. And he says that Jesus, moving from his hometown of Nazareth to live in Capernaum, on the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee, was yet another fulfillment of prophecy about the Messiah. Much earlier, God had thoroughly humbled this region as it was ravaged by Assyria in 734 and 732 BC. But through the prophet Isaiah, God had promised these people that the time would come when he would honour it again through a special child who was to be born. This light has dawned, Matthew says, as these people who walked in darkness have in Jesus the light of the world in their midst, and the one who was making their area the centre of his ministry. Jesus preached and taught and healed in this region, clearly following on the same, the same sort of ministry as John the Baptist had had. We're told that it was as John was placed in prison that Jesus moved to Galilee to take up this task. And what John had preached, Jesus also preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. As Matthew's gospel unfolds, he points out the differences and the distinctives of Jesus and his message, but here he's also clearly emphasising the continuity and the consistency of God's plans and messages. Here is the Messiah, who was long ago promised, who does everything to fulfil God's prophecies about him, and who carries on preaching the same message that John the Baptist had preached. And that message is itself a message of commitment. Matthew emphasises that because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus does, he is worthy of people committing themselves to him. And he also shows that Jesus himself calls for such commitment. For that really is what the word repentance is all about. Repentance isn't primarily about remorse or feeling sorry. Repentance is more about a decision to do with the change of mind or an about face in direction. Both John and Jesus were really preaching, realign your commitment because the kingdom of God is at hand. What they're looking for is a change from commitment to self to commitment to God and God's kingdom. Because in the dawning of the light with the coming of Jesus, this kingdom itself had drawn near. So how are people to go about putting into practice that commitment to God and his ways? Well, Matthew, I think, gives us the answer in the way that he tells the story. Jesus went about preaching repentance, and then Matthew straight away has him immediately going and calling people to follow him, to be committed to God and the way that is in a way that's appropriate to the drawing near of the kingdom, is to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Commitment to God really means commitment to Jesus. Jesus calls Peter and Andrew and James and John to follow him, and they immediately left everything to go and do so. Now, they didn't just kind of follow him in that they tagged along behind. They became his disciples. That is, they watched him. They learned from him. They lived with him. They imitated him. In short, they committed their whole selves to him. That's what repentance means, and that's what Jesus was calling for as he told people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. But who is this message or this call to commitment actually meant for? Jesus went about the region preaching initially just to the Jews. We have the dramatic account this morning of four disciples displaying instant commitment to him. But what about others? Well, there were the 12 in Jesus' inner circle. But surely not everyone needs to go to the extremes that the four or the 12 went to, do they? Well, Jesus says elsewhere that unless his followers are prepared to put commitment to him above all other loyalties, then they're not really worthy to be called his followers. In other words, if that's the case, these folk hadn't truly repented in the full sense of what that word means. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has dawned for those living in the land of deep darkness. That demands total commitment to him from all those who would follow him. He requires people to truly follow him and not just to kind of claim a loose allegiance. Repentance to the ways of the kingdom means closely observing Christ, learning from him, striving to imitate him. We're told in this reading that Jesus taught and healed and preached. Now, obviously, we will never achieve to the same level as him, but if we're following Jesus, then that following must at least include teaching others about him, bringing his healing presence to bear in the lives of those who need it, and preaching the good news of the kingdom to those outside the kingdom. Because that's what the news of Jesus and commitment to Jesus really is. It is good news. Sometimes it might sound like duty or hardship or legality. To be following Jesus, we ought to be doing this and we need to be doing that. But the obligations of commitment to Jesus are themselves part of the light that has dawned. When we truly realise that the darkness from which we've each been rescued, then the obligations of the way of light are not a burden so much as a joy. You see, originally the promise of Isaiah, way back then, was very concrete, that those living in this particular region of the world actually were living in darkness and the fear of death. Where they lived, every little tin pot force and dictator that rose to power crushed and oppressed them. And in Jesus' time, the Jews in that particular region were probably more influenced by opposing pressures and ideologies than anywhere else in the world at the time. How like God in his wisdom to send his son to preach good news and the light of the world, first of all, to such an unlikely people. Jesus began by preaching the repentance and commitment to his kingdom to the Jews who were in this particular region. But we're told his ministry was in Galilee of the Gentiles, as it was called. And so even in that, there was a hint of the wider thrust of his message which was to come. Those who live in darkness and the land of the shadow of death are in reality a group of people far wider in scope and far more in number than just a few hard-pressed Jews in a particular place and time. In a sense, all peoples in every time fit that description. And so the coming of Jesus has meant God's light dawning for all people. That light of Christ brings with it to all people the same call to commitment that Christ himself preached. The good news of the kingdom that was preached first throughout all Galilee has come even to us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as we seek to be true followers of Christ, that same light must continue to dawn through us into the lives of others around us. For that is what the joyous commitment to the good news of the kingdom is really all about. Amen.